everyone, welcome to our bonus episode for this week. We are doing a character profile of Asha!
Asha Allahan.
Yeah!
I'm looking forward to this one. I really, really enjoy Asha as a character. It's been really fun watching her grow up and get a little bit more involved in the show in the last few years. And this is definitely the actress who's been on the show the longest that we haven't profiled yet.
I know, in 2 years' time, she'll have been on the show 20 years.
I know, it's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. But with all this time, I've been thinking, like, oh, should we do Asha yet? Is it time to profile her? We kind of done, you know, other kids, but she's still been, you know, for a long while, she was one of the kids that was really flew under the radar, wasn't she? She
People
was like made special appearances.
Rather uncharitable about the twins, weren't they? They were just a bit,
yeah,
a bit dull. They didn't do anything.
But I just don't think that they really gave them the chance.
They didn't give them anything. There was nothing to do.
No. I mean, I think that all of the Allahans have really come into their own in the last few years. I think maybe when Sunita died, Dev went off the boil a bit. We didn't see as much of him.
The Allahans
and
are just
so
the best.
Just the growing up of these two twins, we didn't see a whole lot of. But it wasn't until Ian McLeod came in who decided, right, let's push her to the fore for a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, where we're looking at with Asha at the moment, she's still not one of the in your face all the time front page of the soap mag kind of characters, is she? She has been. I still think she's mega underused, but I've been really, really glad to see that Tanisha Gori as Asha has weathered the storm of child actordom and has come through this, because although she wasn't the first person to play Asha, I mean, can you count babies? I suppose I am. She's, you know, one of the few, like, you know, Alex Bain, Sam Aston, who have been the main one since just a wee kiddie.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
So Asha's, what?
No, I think, I don't know what else I was going to say.
Well,
hopefully not, because it'll be a very short podcast otherwise, but I'll let you carry on and run down her vital statistics.
Well, we are definite Asha fans on this podcast.
We are passionate about Asha.
Yeah, and you know, there's been lots of criticism aimed at Ian McLeod over the past however many years.
Has there? I haven't noticed.
Things he's done is kind of the rejuvenation of the Allahans, and
yeah.
I think they're a great family unit, and Asha is a fantastic character. She's born on the 13th of January 2006. Her parents
apparently
were Dev and Sunita Allahan. She's got loads of our half-siblings all around, because Dev was a bit of a goer in his youth, wasn't he?
He sowed his oats, did Dev, yeah.
Not very politically correct now to impregnate all your shop girls, but
I don't think anyone could ever accuse Dev of being politically correct.
It was quite the funny subplot in the day.
I don't think it was funny. It was, I don't know. I mean, it was very dramatic when it came out in the show. Like, Sunita left him for it.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, as us as viewers, like, oh, Dev, put it in your trousers, honestly.
Keep it in your trousers. Shireen, half-sister, Amber, Caroli, half-sister, two other half-sisters. Siblings
haven't even been graced with names
and named as of yet, although potential plots. And Ardy, her twin.
Ardy's the main one, isn't it? Yeah, I don't really think we'll see any Allahans. I suppose, you know, we could, but I don't think there's any crying out for it, is there? If they can't be bothered to do anything with Amber, who I suppose is the third most well-known,
yeah, definitely,
Allahan child. I don't think we're going to be rushing to seeing any more. But I suppose
I don't know. Honestly, you don't know what the futures hold. If you've got a new producer, she might be like, "I want all the siblings."
I mean, they're blank slates, aren't they?
Exactly.
Literally, they haven't even got names.
What are they like? Are they like ambitious like Dev, or are they like, you know,
yeah,
losers?
The anti-Asha. I don't know.
Asha first appeared when she was born on the 13th of January 2006, and as of recording, she has been in 552 episodes. She, as you have mentioned, was played currently by Tanisha Gori from 2009 to present, but as a baby was played by Hannah Harris and Rhea Ahmed in 2006.
I don't know how many appearances young Asha made before Sunita whisked them away, but they're three kids it took to play them. I mean, I don't know, I guess they were all triplets, weren't they? They just, did any of these also play Ardy?
Do you
just
think
wrap them up in a bundle, and then who knows if it's a boy or a girl?
When you have a like triplets in a hospital, do you think there's like an agent outside the door going,
"Oh,
when you've
got there
any
must be
time, can you come and talk to me about appearing on a
If you're born in a Manchester hospital and you're a twin or a triplet, yeah, they've got to be. It's gonna sound an alarm somewhere in the ITV offices.
All the soap casting directors like get on their poles and start like shooting through floors to try and get there first.
Yes.
In 2015, the twins' birthday was changed.
Yes.
So that they were born in 2005 instead of 2006, they could be aged up a year to get them closer in age to Amy and Simon.
Yeah, so this is one of Corrie's biggest retcons.
Oh, is it?
For now. But this literally is. We saw them being born in 2006, but now they are canonically born in 2005. And that isn't something that Corrie does very often, is it? You know, it goes on all the time in American soaps, or so I've been told. Like, kids, just to make them into more interesting characters, will just shoot up, won't they? Didn't that happen? Did the Married with Children kids grow up quickly as well? I don't know, but it's not something we're really used to over here, and I guess it's only in a year different, but it does kind of bug me a bit.
You know, it seems like such a tame retcon now, but that goes to show you, if you accept things like this, then who knows? The slippery slope, isn't it?
But you know, we're dancing around things here because of reasons. But literally, lots of other times when Corrie does things that people call them retcons, they can be explained off and say, well, technically,
we didn't see that happen.
But with this, you know, we did know that they grew up in 2005 and they were, 2006, sorry, and they were, you know, what is it, 2 years older, 2 years younger than Amy, and now they're 1 year younger than her. But anyway, I guess we just have to live with that fact. And as long as Corrie don't do it all the time, I will allow it.
But okay.
They did it to, didn't Peter and Susan Barlow get aged for a bit? I think that they had said that they could have like their 18th birthday early. They were aged up, and then Peter was aged back down again. He's been all over the shop. So
I've heard that some actresses on the show do a similar thing.
I hear that as well as too. But you know, even I suppose it also makes sense that they've been aged up, because Tanisha Gori herself was born in 2002. So that's, she's still a good deal older than Asha's supposed to be. And if they'd kept her as her original age, the gap would have been even wider. I mean, it's, you know, lots and lots of Corrie characters are not the same age as the character they play. But when you're a kid, it's noticeable more, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jack Webster or anything. But I'm over it now. Would you believe?
I don't know if you
it
are.
Doesn't bother me anymore. It
doesn't bother you at all. Okay, so
what's the story? What's the story, the story of Asha's birth?
Some of these things will include Ardy. Had a character.
I don't know when we're going to do Ardy's character profile.
He has to do a bit
more. It's
going
to be pretty much the same for the first 10 plus years.
Ditto a lot of this. Yeah. So 2006, Sunita gives birth, or 2005.
One or the other.
She doesn't like Dev anymore because she's found out about all these other children.
Mm.
And so she won't let him anywhere near the kids. And she even actually considers a termination, but she changes her mind. But she still won't.
Yeah,
let him
she lets him into the birth in the end, but yeah, she doesn't want him to have anything to do, which is a bit harsh. I always hate it when the mums do that on Coronation Street. And I know they birthed them and everything, but I'm glad Dev's one of my favourite Corrie dads, possibly of all time, I'm gonna say.
If men don't like it, they can have their own babies.
What if he could have done? I don't know.
So, Sunita eventually realises that twin babies actually quite hard work. So
they're no quads.
She says, okay, you can help me. But he goes behind her back and registers the birth so that his name's on the birth certificate.
You've got to do these things sometimes.
And she can't forgive him for that. So she leaves the street, and Dev can't see the kids for any more than 2 hours a week. And he lets them live in the house in Bramhill. And he moves into the shop flat, so he's living on the street.
Yeah, so in the previous year, Dev and Sunita had bought this house in Bramhill, which is, I think, like south southeast of Manchester, so it's not too far away. It's very much in the vicinity. So all of the time that Sunita and the twins were away, they were within easy driving distance of Coronation Street. They just didn't bother to come round.
Busy when you got young children.
Oh yeah, exactly. But so we had many years, well, not many years, 3 years without the twins, until Shobhana Gulati decided she wanted to return to the street. And of course, along with Sunita comes Asher and Adi. Recast now to be played by Tanisha Gori and Zenon Ditchett. So Tanisha Gori had been a child model when she was younger. She used to do... Mm-hmm. I've not seen pictures of any of this. I always think it's funny to see pictures of the actors when they first come into it. Just before we started recording this, I said, look, it's Asher when Tanisha was first cast. So tiny. But yeah, she used to like model toys and baby clothes and all this kind of stuff. And she went to acting workshops. And a lot of this information I'm getting from when I interviewed her a few years ago. And she's like, oh, I didn't realise how big Corrie was at the time. And I guess you probably wouldn't. She said it was just like a lot of running around and... just having a good time, really. And she you know, she had Zenon with her as well, so they were both just experiencing it together, really. She says she didn't really call it work until about 10 years in. She was just like, oh yeah, because she carried on her school for most of the, you know, the time that she wasn't filming, because as we said earlier, there was very, very little of Asher and Adi on screen for their first 10, 15 years or so. So she would just like dip out of school to go filming and then carry on with a fairly normal life. I asked her about tutoring, and she says, well, you only got tutoring in Corrie if you missed more than 3 hours of school a day. So occasionally she'd have that. But really, she pretty much grew up as a young teenager, having a relatively normal life, just every now and then popping in for a bit of filming in Coronation Street. So by 2009, Sunita is engaged to a man called Matt Davis, and he's living in this Bramhill house with her, taking on responsibility and so on. And then this is when the characters came back into it. And another thing Tanisha told me was that on their first day of filming, they were on location at this house, and then everyone's like, where's the kids? Where's Tanisha and Zenon? They'd gone missing. But apparently Jimmy had taken them down the park. Bit of safeguarding now, I'm gonna say. bit of bonding with his new on screen like kids. And so he's like, hey, I'll just take them down the park, everything's fine, man. I can just imagine him.
I know that Jimmy Hodgson is not Dev, but that's such a Dev thing to do.
that is a real Dev thing to do. Like, hey,
if Dev was an actor. Just like wandering off.
I wonder if he got his wrist slapped because of that.
Don't know. Never taken him again, I notice.
Yeah, well, Dev discovers that Sunita and Matt have become engaged, and he starts to make a few more frequent appearances, visits, to go and see the twins, because he doesn't want them to lose sight of the fact of who their father really is. And I think during that 3 years when they were off screen, we did hear him talking about, you know, I'm going to go and see Sunita, I'm going to see the twins and everything. So I don't think he was ever, like, properly estranged from them. Next year in 2010, they're still over in Bramhill. Sunita is worried that Asher has got meningitis because she's got spots, she's got a high temperature, but it's all right, it's just a virus. But that whole incident brings Sunita and Dev closer together. And yeah, I guess Sunita had cooled down after finding that he'd put it about a bit. And there's nothing like a bit of child meningitis to bring a pair of warring parents back together again. So before you know it, Sunita has left Matt for Dev. Kind of feel bad for Matt in this situation. I don't remember anything about the character of Matt. I think he was in about like 5 episodes.
Matt Davis is like the blandest name I've ever heard.
It just makes you think of Matt Damon.
Oh god.
Matt Davis. And anyway,
yes, the Team America version.
The family are all back together.
Yay.
In January 2010. Didn't last too long, poor old Sunita. But yeah, this brings us to the beginning of the 2010s, and I'm just gonna do a whistle stop tour, if you'll indulge me, of some of Asher's
Greatest hits
from the next 6-7 years. Like I said earlier, that the episode counts were low, and they were seriously low. So Like 2011, for example, she was only in 9 episodes for the whole year. 2018, she was in 15 episodes in the year. 2014, 3 appearances for the whole year. We are talking, you know, this is Jack Webster level appearance at the moment, isn't it? This is Lily Platt levels of I'm not really on the show.
When did we start the show? 2014?
No, 12 we started the show.
Oh, right, okay. So right. We would have been like, well, I just remember us being making fun of Vardy and Asha.
I don't think we did.
Well, no, like, just, yeah, they were a bit boring, weren't they? Not in a mean way. Not in a really mean way. Just like in the same way that we might do, like, you know, when Lily used to just rock up every now and then. And
see, say, no, I don't know. I'd like to go back in time.
Okay.
Because I would say... my version of it in my head now is that whenever Ardy and Asha made an appearance, it always felt like a bit of a treat. It's like, I think I like them. I thought that Little Zenon and especially Tanisha had something really early on, but they just weren't given the chance to show it. And there are certainly some child actors, or there have been in the past, and yeah, there still are some now, when I go, oh, it's them again, all right, whatever. But these pair, I thought they were good, and Tanisha, over the course of those 2010s, well, Asha Tanisha playing Asha, yeah, she did have a little bit of a spark of personality every now and then. So anyway, my greatest hits are Tanisha. So 2010, she got nannied, along with Ardy, of course.
Asha the character.
By Claire, before doing a flip to France.
Yep.
Also 2010, Dev and Sunita are told that the twins are going to have to go into foster care. Oh no! Because Ardy had sustained some mysterious injuries while Claire was leaving them in Sophie Webster and Sian's care. He bumped his head.
I think
it was Simon. I think Simon like pushed him against a bedpost or something. So yeah, Ardy was the first person to get a bit of a solo story there. But Asha was going along for a ride. 2011, she played the angel Gabriel in the nativity play. It's a boy's part, but hey, who am I to criticise? And that was the nativity play where Joseph was born. You know, little Joseph. Yeah. Joseph, I mean, Chesney Joseph.
You might argue that angels are supernatural beings with no gender.
You might do, I suppose, while like they were very progressive in the Weatherfield like nativity of 2011.
Wheels with eyes on them.
Yeah, yeah, that was our costume.
And big revolving heads with wings coming out of the top.
2012. So along with Ardy, Asha was responsible for finding an envelope containing £7,000,
nice,
which was hidden inside a cupboard at number 7. And that is what led Dev to discover that his dear wife, Sunita, was having an affair with Carl Monroe.
That mucky cow.
That was a pants story, wasn't
she's
it?
Naughty, isn't
sometimes
she?
People Sunita. Get together on Coronation Street, and you think, oh, maybe give it a chance. But Sunita and Carl, it's like, nope.
No.
I don't. Although having watched more of early Sunita on Classic in recent years, she really did have an eye for the older man. Like, if Dougie hadn't fallen over those banisters, you know, maybe Dougie would have been Asher and Ardy's father.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Because they were having a right old time there. But anyway, Sunita and Carl, it didn't really work for me. And certainly not for Dev, because he's discovered his wife's having an affair. Asher doesn't like the idea of them being together either. But doesn't really last for long anyway, because before you know, Sunita's gone in a puff of smoke in the 2013 Rovers fire, which was started by Carl, wasn't it? Asha, I vaguely remember this. There was the scene where Dev had to tell Ardy and Asha that their mum was gone. And the camera, he's like sits them down on the sofa in number 7, and it kind of artfully pans away so they don't
they
have
don't
to...
let them...
Don't let the kids react to this. We don't want to test out their dramatic abilities yet.
I do wonder, I think I remember, I quite distinctly remember this, and I do remember at the time going, I want to see their hearts break.
Yeah, I mean, creme de la creme of Corrie, you can cry on cue.
Of course I didn't.
Of course.
Think that.
No, but I'm saying, creme de la creme of Corrie, a young kid, dramatic acting, you're amazing, was Sam Astin and Alex Bain, weren't they? Those were the two.
The cutest little crybaby. Yeah.
For cuteness, obviously, yeah. Jack P. Sheppard was awesome as well in many ways.
He was just a cheeky boy.
Yeah, but I don't know. But anyway, so I was also I was talking to Tanisha about when Shobhna left. She was like, I don't really remember much. And it kind of makes sense that because she was only in, you know, 9-10 episodes a year, you're not going to necessarily form that much of a parental bond with the people playing your on-screen mum and dad. And apparently it was very much a case of, oh yeah, one day Shobhna was in the show and the next she wasn't, and I just got on with it.
I know, really. But children are like that. They're very resilient.
Yeah.
They just kind of like go with the flow.
I mean, Tanisha herself was only 11 when this happened, so Asher was even younger. So yeah, I guess it is just going with the flow. And I suppose if at this stage you still don't really quite get how big Coronation Street is, and it's just a thing that you go along to, and you
so cute.
You say your lines. It's like, oh, okay, you're gone now. Yeah,
I guess that's what happens.
Whatever, that's what happens. It would have been, I guess, the time that Tanisha was in year six, maybe, as well. So there might have been a bit of change about going to school and losing other people
other
from her
life. Other things to do, to worry about.
I don't know. So that little scrote bag Simon tells Asher that her mum won't be going to heaven because she burnt the pub down.
Well,
because originally
rude.
It's Sunita that that gets the blame for that, isn't it? So, yeah, she had Asher locks herself in the outside loo. Because she's so upset with Simon. I think that's her big first solo starring role.
Oh, her first big story was locking herself in a toilet.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
Way up.
Throughout the 2010s, we saw them being married by Nanny. Nannied by Mary, didn't we?
I think being married is what we should call it.
They were married, you're right. They were very much married. And I really, looking back on that, liked Mary's inclusion in this in the Allahan dynamic.
Did you ever call the storyline Married with Children?
I know, but I should have done. I mean, it was obviously like Mary Poppins, wasn't it?
Probably. What we call it.
Did you enjoy
Mary
looking back?
She was great with them. She was just, she really thrived in that. Mm. I think that was probably her best era, being the Allahan's nanny.
I don't know. I did really, really like early Mary, and before her stories about her mum got a bit too weary. She did have some great moments with Norris, didn't she? And all that, you know.
But I didn't really buy that. I never really liked that, like, oh, the will they, won't they, oh, she fancies him, he doesn't like her. I always thought it was a bit silly.
I didn't mind it, and with that camper van.
It just went odd, didn't it? Like,
it went very odd by the end, yeah. But I really did appreciate putting her with the Allahans, because it was kind of showing a different side to Patty's performance.
Exactly. And she was nice and maternal.
Yeah, Mary had a whole lot of love, and she didn't have any kids of her own, or so she thought at that time. And it was just like really cosy.
It was.
Mary is the sort of person that you'd want to have as a nanny if
yes,
you were a
definitely.
Kid. So, I mean, you know, to read your stories and sing your songs and make you laugh.
Also, the only time I've ever cared about who's looking after the children while this storyline. Like, I don't care. Don't bother telling me what your childcare arrangements are as part of the story, because I don't even remember that you had a kid.
Mm.
But Mary being the nanny actually worked out.
I'm sure, you know, Asher and Ardy would have turned out the same way with or without Mary, but I like to think that some of Mary has rubbed off on them, because both Asher and Ardy, as adults as they are now, are both really nice people, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, then they didn't go through that I'm an horrible teen stage, well, not particularly.
They're not
shallow or superficial.
No.
They have got into scrapes, but on the whole, they are both genuinely decent people. And Tanisha and Ardy in that role. Tanisha and Adam in that role. One day I'll get the characters' names right when I'm talking out loud. Have really given a really human, just, yeah, nice quality to them. But I like to think that it's been partly Mary's influence and, yeah.
Her moral backbone.
Exactly. That's helped them to become the people they are today. So,
and their penchant for telling lies and playing magazine competition games.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did, Asher, go through a bit of a phase of cheeky naughtiness. For example, in 2016, I remember this. I think I remember this scene as being one of the first where I was like, oh, so Asher's going to be like this, is she? Because there was a scene in 2016 where she pushes Max into the annex of number 8, which they like call the haunted annex, and they trap him inside
there. That's Gail's house where...
Yeah, yeah.
What's his face?
This is David's
buried.
Annex, yeah. It's like a tooth or dagger. Callum. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the door handle comes off and Max is traumatised and trapped in
and
there.
Now look
at him. She was definitely a little bit of a mean girl.
She did that.
But everything that Max has done now, everything that's gone wrong with him, it's all because Asher pushed him inside that
Lauren
haunted annex
well.
That one time. I don't know how will she live with herself if it's true. So she just had a bit of a spark of something, because you're right, both of the twins were relatively bland and personalityless up to this point. Not the actor's fault, because they didn't need to be. Lots of Corrie characters don't need to be anything but that when they're that age. But this, I remember being a scene of, oh, they're giving her a personality now. And I mean,
she's mean.
She hasn't stuck with it, obviously, because I was just saying how lovely she is.
Yeah, but everyone's done something naughty when they're a kid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she
set fire to an orphanage.
she was the older of that little friendship group, and I think she was just kind of taking advantage of the chance.
Yeah, get him.
There's a scene in 2016 as well where Erica is on the scene. Remember Erica?
Yeah, I do. I don't forget Erica.
Emmerdale Erica.
I quite liked Erica.
I wasn't a fan, and neither were Ardy
and
Asher
either.
She
and Dev were dating, weren't they? And
yeah,
she also
yeah.
dated Nick.
Yes, she did. Yeah,
she was
there was
have a
that
baby
pregnancy storyline, wasn't there? But yeah, the twins decide that they want to get Mary back as a nanny, because Erica wasn't really very good at looking after kids. Certainly, Erica did not have much of a maternal side to her. And they also get their revenge on her when they discover that she's had a fling with Kevin as well.
How did they get their revenge?
I don't remember, but it was probably evil.
Poo in her shoes.
But they probably just tell Dev, to be honest.
Yeah.
There was a scene in 2017 where she and Summer teamed up to give Amy homemade highlights and ended up turning her hair orange in classic Hilda Ogden style,
nice.
If you remember when that happened to her. And then 2017, I think. So how old was the character then? Like 11, 12?
I can't
tell. So it's impossible to know these things. This is when they started to be used a little bit more. They were teaming up with Amy more. I remember quite liking the friendship group of Amy and Summer and Asher, and they'd be like walking together or sitting at the bus stop together, wouldn't they?
I prefer
and
old Summer.
They went through a little stage in late 2017 of being little cheeky pranksters. And they put...
Like Ant and Dec.
Yeah. She put... Do you remember there was a story they put... like a stock cube in the shower head, and
no.
Brian ended up having a gravy shower, and they put some ink in the water. What's it called where you put the water in the front of your car to squirt it on the windscreen?
I'm surprised that all showers aren't equipped with gravy heads in the north.
But anyway, they were having a bit heavy. They should have a gravy tap, shouldn't they? Hot, cold,
gravy
and gravy.
Tap. Well, you know they
do. Stan, look, it's got three taps.
You know they have chocolate fountains.
Yeah.
I would have loved a gravy fountain with roast potatoes and like pigs in blankets and little sausage that's stuffing balls. Wouldn't that be just the most delicious?
Can you imagine
what the whole place would smell like with a gravy fountain in the corner?
So they're playing all these horrible pranks on Brian, and as payback they have to dress up as Boney M. Asher and Amy, and there's pictures of this online. It's quite funny. They got like afros and everything, and they do a little home Boney M concert for Brian and Kathy. Quite funny. They're also encouraging Summer to do dares as well, because Summer was always... I mean, Asher is a bit of a nerd and a square, isn't she? But when you got Summer around you, you're always going to retain some
kind of cool element.
And so Asher takes advantage of this by getting Summer to just do dares, which leads her to taking spice.
Oh.
And that's how she ended up passed out in the Ginnel.
Oh,
remember that.
Dear.
Finally, in 2017, when Brian dresses up as Father Christmas at the community centre, Asher sits on his knee, makes fun of him, tugs his beard and all that. Brian goes off on one, is like, I curse you for all time, you vile child. I can't remember.
What do you think? How much do you think the curse is still affecting her?
Well, yeah, a very good point.
She's had some bad things happen.
She has had some bad
then.
Luck happen to her, you're right.
Mm.
All because of Brian, because he cursed her.
He cursed her when he was dressed as Father Christmas.
In front of a community centre full of children. So that was kind of what I would say is the end of...
Innocence,
early,
the age of innocence.
The innocent Asher, early Asher, just experimental Asher, not needing to push the acting boundaries too much, but just have a bit of fun. And I did like the characters early on, but it wasn't until 2019 that they stepped up again. This is Ian McLeod stepping into the breach in Coronation Street, and he's wanted to develop all of the kids, all the teens, and have them on screen a little bit more than in previous years. But out of them all, Asher is the one for me that I am really grateful that they took the time to give a boost, because Tanisha has stepped up to the plate and absolutely smashed it. You never can tell with the young actors, can you? Like, when they start to be given the big stories, are they actually going to be any good? Have they got the chops for it? But by gum, Tanisha did.
I was going to say, when they were, because they're all the similar age when they were kids, Amy was more the star of the show because she was Barlow and was hanging, you know, with Blanche and Ken and Deirdre. So a lot, if they wanted a child to do something, it was usually Amy. And Amy definitely had a very much more developed personality than Asher did.
Yeah.
But then... Yeah. Like you say,
Ellie Mulvaney's great as well.
Love both of them. But 2019 was when Asher started to get a little piece of that pie as well.
Although she was only in 39 episodes in 2019 as well. And this was all the skin lightening story. And I remember at the end of 2019, people looked back and said, you know, that was one of the best stories of the year. That really blew my socks off and surprised me by how great a job the Allahans did with it, by how brilliant Tanisha was in the story, but it was over and done within 39 episodes. Do you want to have a little run through and a reminder of what happened?
Well, this is when Corey Brent, that incorrigible, evil,
what a rapscallion he was.
Yeah, rich rapscallion turns up. She's interested in him, and Amy arranges a meetup with them in Speedwell, but Corey's after Amy rather than Asher. And
you call him Corey. Do you remember Dev used to call him Corey as well? Bit of a fourth wall break in there.
This leads Asher to feel insecure about her looks. She starts wearing makeup to school, and then she starts skipping tests and sneaking off to parties. And Dev confronts her, and she tells him she hates him, and she wishes that Tanisha was still alive.
Classic child behaviour. Teens, eh?
Dev decides to take her to India so that they can spend time with the family and sort of reconnect, and that would be good for her. And so they go away for a few months so that Asher only has to be in 39 episodes a year.
Yeah, this was it was funny because it was like, I'm going to say like maybe May to July or something like that. And they went away for no particular reason, but it almost felt like, right, let's rev her up and let her go when she comes back.
It did feel like we were watching, I think I probably said this at the time, like this is Tanisha Gorey's audition for being Asher for all time.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I think before they even gave her this, though, they knew that she was capable, because I don't think you'd chuck this at somebody that you weren't sure about.
No,
but
I mean,
she really, really, I think, yeah, we definitely said it at the time, she blew us all away.
This could have been an opportunity, had they wanted to, when they took them away to India, to say, let's do a quick swap around, new actress coming in there, but they knew they had something.
No, so Asher is very withdrawn when she comes back. She spends a lot of time in her room. She's covering herself up with longer clothes. And then Amy's really worrying about her, especially when she sees that there's a blood stain on Asher's sleeve. So she confronts her, and it turns out that she's been using skin lightening products and creams, which have given her nasty side effects, which is where the blood's come from. And she says, like, I promise I'll stop, because Amy threatens to tell Dev, but she doesn't. She keeps doing it. And so she takes on more work at the kebab shop, and she ends up stealing Dev's credit card to buy this cream, but he finds out, and she tells him that she was buying makeup. Meanwhile, this is going on at the same time that Corey's getting more and more interested in Asher. They start seeing each other, and Deb tries to give her the birds and the bees talk. And she's like, look, I'm not going to sleep with Corey. I've got no plans for that.
She was very kind of mature there, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I remember there was a good 6 months or so where she was like, no, literally, I'm not going to sleep with him. I'm in control of my own body. I'm not going to let him pressure me into it.
Yeah, very sensible young lady.
She was.
If only Sunita kept it in her pants. Asher takes part in rehearsals there. Bugsy Malone performance. God, this was a debacle, wasn't it?
Yeah. Then, do you remember Pastel Blue?
Yeah, is that, what is that?
The weirdest name character. That was one of the girls.
Character in Bugsy Malone?
No. That was the kid's name. That was her classmate's name. I can't remember what her surname was, but she was like the mean girl at Weatherfield High.
strange. So she gets attacked by a splurge gun.
Yes, by this pastels.
Jealous pastel blue. And she confides in Mary that pastel blue's right. She is ugly. And Mary says, no, you're not. And she tells Dev that how badly Asher feels about herself. And he intercepts a package of this cream. And he gets really cross about what she's been doing. And he tears down all these Bollywood actresses, all these posters of them with their light skin off of the wall. And then he calms her down and chats to her and sends her off to see Dr. Gaddis for some counselling. And the year ends with the play being a success and Asher just like, I shan't do this anymore.
And that's kind of all it needed, but it was so powerful. I mean, the scene...
The biggest, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go on.
The biggest image of that, which was like probably one of the shots of the year, was her...
Easily.
In the mirror with a ripped up piece of a Bollywood actress with light skin holding it over her face, like comparing herself to this. And then sort of deciding, no...
I think that was the first year that we did our top five scenes of the year on the Patreon. And if not both of us, at least one of us had that as one of the scenes on the year. And it was so simple, wasn't it? Her sitting in front of the mirror, putting the picture up again. So it was... And I think if you go on the Coronation Street tour at the moment and they have the compilation of clips at the beginning of it, it's one of the ones that's on there among all the other greats. And... it's one of the ones that does just give you a little chills when you see it. And all the production and the music and everything with the compilation helps. But it was superb, that scene. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And even the scene where Dev tears all the posters down from the wall. I mean, Asher's bedroom was created for this story, wasn't it? And they had it as like half girl bedroom and half like spaceman boy bedroom to show that they'd shared when they were younger. And yeah, Jimmy Harkishin, we've said many times before, when he wants to get angry for Dev, he is absolutely terrifying. And he was, poor little Asher there, cowering on her bedroom while Dev was tearing down all these idols off the wall because they also had this pale skin. And this was something that I didn't know anything about. I am quite ignorant in many of the ways of the world and all that until Coronation Street highlights them. But I didn't know that skin lightening was a thing. And Tanisha said the same thing, really. She spoke in, I can't remember whether this is the interview with me or another one, but she said, I knew nothing about these skin lightening creams. I'd heard it happen, but I had no idea it was as common as it actually is. I want to make sure I do it justice, because if you're going to cover such a serious issue, which is not shown a lot, then you need to do it in the right way. I'm really looking forward to taking it on. Yeah, so this must have been in a Not With Me interview, and hopefully help educate other young girls about it. It's all about self-esteem.
See, I thought this was a very successful and good idea, because it took a kind of trope that feels quite well-worn, you know, a young girl who feels...
Insecure about her appearance.
But it introduced something different to a predominantly white audience who probably didn't know very much about this kind of stuff. And it kind of put a different spin on it. And it showed why having a range of diverse characters in a show like Coronation Street is such a good and important thing to do.
Yeah, they couldn't have done this story in the 60s, could they? There wasn't anyone they could have done it with.
There's literally... Asher was the first character they could have done this with. I don't know... I mean, Alia was in it, but she was a bit too old. I don't know who else they could have done this with.
No.
So having Asher in the show facilitated this, and Tanisha did a really, really good job.
Yeah, I was fascinated by it. And the idea that... girls from an Asian background feel the need to lighten their skin to be closer to the Western ideals.
Yeah. It's this, kind of imperial idea of like white beauty.
Well, it was and has in the intervening years been in the news every now and then. Like even last year, Beyonce was apparently suspected of using them because
they suspected.
Well, accused of using them. There are pictures of her at some awards bash with much lighter skin, and her mum, apparently Beyonce's mum, got right on the press and was like, "No, she does not." And Beyonce was like saying, "No.
Well,
I absolutely was not."
It's another one of those. It's another one of those awful situations where society creates this demand for you know, a woman to feel like she needs lighter skin. And then if she ever does anything about it, then, oh no, you're so terrible, you're an awful person, how vain and shallow, and how dare you reject, you know, your skin colour, your, you know, racist, etc. It's just so stupid. And it's just misogynistic as well. I don't see anybody having a go at men for doing it, or men feeling like they have to.
No, I guess not. I mean, it's maybe it is. I don't know.
It's an extra horrible layer of racism on top of sexism that women of colour have to deal with.
The problem with it, of course, is not just all of that, but also the fact that these skin creams are literally just like stripping your skin like paint skim, you know, paint thinner.
Is that what they do? Is it?
Yeah, literally, they bubble it all off. It's okay. Total science. It's acid. That's what happened to the Joker, you know.
Who's he?
No, I don't know what I'm talking about. So, I don't know what I'm doing. So, yeah, I found this absolutely fascinating to learn about. And it wasn't something that felt like it was an issue being shoved down my throat.
No.
And I think probably there are a lot of girls in the audience who identified with Asher. And I would hope this storyline did do a job of, you know, stopping them from going down that same path.
Well, hopefully. And also, it was seeing Dev like that too, thinking, you know, ripping these things down, being so cross. And he was probably, you know, thinking, my daughter's ashamed of herself. Mm. How have I done this to her?
Yeah. And Dev's always been, you know, a bit worried about, have I brought up these kids right? You know, he wanted to get them back, but he's been a single father through their formative years, absent. Really.
He left a lot of it to Mary, and, you know, Mary is a white woman. So Tanisha's role, well, not Tanisha, sorry, I'm doing it now. Asher's role model growing up was a white woman.
Mm.
Don't know if that ever played into it. They never really went into that, but no. She's not having her mum around to talk to her about some of these things would have been difficult.
I think we're supposed to believe that it was during that time in India that's yes, where she was exposed to people who were doing it over there.
There's a big culture of it in many different countries.
But you know, over here it's completely illegal. Again, last year I read about £21,000 worth of skin lightening products being seized from a shop in London. So it's still clearly very much underground black market. Yeah, gosh, it's so sad, but I love this, and I wasn't the only one. This came from when I was talking to Tanisha, and she was telling me about how happy she was at the response it got, and she was like, I didn't see a single negative comment. It was wall to wall praise, such positivity. And she was just so proud of herself because she knew, like you said, this was almost, you know, audition-like of, can I do the grown-up stories? And, yeah, everybody thought she was absolutely amazing.
I think she should rightfully be proud of herself for tackling this. And it's no small thing either to ask a young actress to do something about her appearance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even though there's no suggestion anywhere that this was anything along the lines of what she thought personally about herself, we don't know, you know, but any time you're asking somebody to do a story like that, I mean, I think it's probably one of the most tactful ways of exploring a young girl's, what's the word?
Self-image
issues, because this, like, no sane person is watching it going, yeah, you do need skin lightening cream. Like, there will be horrible people who, if you had a story about an eating disorder, would make comments.
Mm.
If you had a story, it would be like, oh, well, she doesn't look thin enough to do this.
Mm.
You know? So, from that perspective, I think they had a pretty... they protected her with the story itself, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She did a fantastic job.
She did. And that was just the beginning of Asher's kind of journey into self-acceptance and doing things to try and please other people, because 2020 was the year where it really went bad for her with Corey. So by the beginning of 2020, she and Corey had split up, but then Kelly Nealon had encouraged her to try and get back together with him. And Amy's like, no way, don't you do it. And Kelly then starts accusing Amy of fancying him herself. All the girls fall out. And Tracy says, look, girls, have a pizza night. Have everyone together. Let's get the girls and all your mates together and you can all make up and it'll be fine. That evening is when Asher is video chatting with Corey and he asks her to strip for him on camera. And she does. Another really, really kind of harrowing, affecting, not necessarily to the same heights and in kind of in my memory banks as the picture across the face scene, but still, that just the kind of the vulnerability that Tanisha showed there when she was starting to, you know, take the clothes off, and again the camera pans away. It was
a very mature storyline for a young actress to take on, but also another first for Corrie. I don't remember this story.
No,
this kind of story is couldn't have been done before because people didn't have this technology.
Yeah,
to record somebody from their phone.
Yeah, Asher really did get a few interesting firsts that didn't feel like, oh, we've seen this before. So
it's a different spin on a time worn. Since they invented cameras, men have been taking photos naked women. So it's not new in that respect. But the fact that she didn't know that he could have taken this video.
Yeah, and you remember Ernie Bishop on that beach back in the 70s, topless ladies.
Never showed those slides when they came back off holiday, did they?
So the next day is when they have this party, all the teenagers together, and Kelly sees Corrie watching the video on his phone, and when he puts it down for a bit, she starts spreading the video through the group chat.
Let's not forget she did this.
She was proper nasty. She did that. She was involved in the kick-in. Honestly, she was not all sweetness and light. But yeah, so that was on her. Asher straight away becomes a laughing stock at school, but when Ardy finds out about it, he calls her a slag as well. So even our own brother is turning against her. And I think that was one of Adam Hussein's early scenes as Ardy. I think he'd been recast at this point.
Yeah, right, call her a slag.
Call her a slag.
Don't believe it. Try it again.
And don't go, you slag, because you're just getting that off EastEnders and that's the wrong one. So anyway, to make things worse for Asher, the video gets uploaded to a porn site well. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Dev is like, he's apoplectic about this, but and he spends quite a long time and money trying to take this video off of the internet, doesn't he? Or hide it or stop it appearing in. I don't know whether you... Can you do this?
Yeah.
But Corrie is definitely spinning the tail. And even to this day, he is still supposedly paying to keep this video offline, isn't he?
Yeah.
It does make me wonder, like, is this there waiting in the wings to come back again at some point?
They obviously automate this, but just imagine, like, how gross it would be to work at a company where you have to watch these videos that people don't want on the internet.
Yeah. But so Asher is having a hell of a time, but lovely Nina comes through, tells her she's still a beautiful person. Do you remember she did a nice little sketch of her and posted it through?
Do you remember Nina used to do drawings?
Yeah, she's not done a drawing for a while.
They obviously fired the person who used to draw for Nina.
Maybe she can be the court artist at Roy's trial. Give her something to do. She can do it, put a unique gothic spin on it.
Yeah, there weren't bats in the courtroom, were there? Just drew them in. It's for fun.
So
I don't know why the judges got vampire fangs, but it's quite cool.
Dev marches down the school. He goes and sees the head teacher, Mr. Griffin. This was Mr. Griffin's last appearance on Coronation Street before Orla Crawshaw stepped in there and was de facto head.
She wouldn't let that happen under her watch.
Oh, I know. So Dev's like, you're not doing anything, Griffin. I'm getting the kids out. They're going to Oak Hill. But everyone at Oak Hill had seen the video too.
Went viral.
So, oh my God. Eventually, everything starts to calm down and they end up going to Oak Hill for a little bit. And this is where they get that uniform that they were drowning Joseph in just the other week. So, meanwhile, Deb's getting himself into more and more debt. He's paying for the school fees. He's paying for the fees to get the video kept offline.
You know how much we praise Dev for being a great dad, and he is like a really sweet, lovely father. What do you think of Dev if you're one of the unnamed shop siblings?
Well, I know. I know.
He's a dickhead, isn't he? Like, he's throwing money at these two. If I was one of these unnamed children, I'd hate Asher and Ardy.
They're definitely the golden children, aren't they? I mean, Ardy has complained a fair bit over the last few years that he feels he's being maligned in favour of. Yeah, but second out of what, seven?
That's not too bad,
is it? Yeah.
I
don't know whether Dev wants to be involved in the others and the mum just doesn't let him.
Well, we can make excuses, but the story is an interesting one, I think, that they should look into. Now the kids are all, you know, new. I imagine they're all older than Ardy and Asher.
Yeah, I think
so. So they're all adults now.
Mm.
And that means that they're, if they do want to track their dad down, their mums won't be able to stop them.
Mm. I wonder, you know, when the time comes for there to be a story about Dev's will and inheritance. Are the other Allahans going to be crawling out the woodwork? Yeah.
I want a bit of the kebab shop fortune, please.
Yeah. Eventually, Asher gets worn down by Corey's requests to make up with him. She forgives him and the pair start going out again. Dev and Archie are like, what the hell? Corey is a nasty piece of work. And Asher's like, well, actually, me and him are going to get a flat together when I reach 16, so deal with it. Adi and Dev are convinced that the pair are sleeping together, especially when Dev finds out that she's been speaking to Dr. Gaddas about going on the pill, but she's still saying, I'm going to wait until I'm 16. So like you said, she definitely had a mature attitude. Corey was like getting proper blue balled about it.
No,
but,
gross.
But Asher was like, no, I'm going to wait. So, 2020, huge year for Asher. Did I say, I haven't got how many episodes she was in this. It wasn't, you know, a massive amount, but it was a step up from the year before. How do you find Asher and Ardy gelling together now we've got Adam in the role of Ardy?
He worked so well, didn't he? I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think he hasn't had as many stories by far as Asher has, which is quite strange.
Mm.
But he is quite, I mean, he was a massive favourite, wasn't he, at one point, because he and Dev were a funny comedy duo, but that's been dialed down quite a lot for some reason.
Yeah, and they had last year the story with Asher, Ardy and Courtney, and that was a bit of a flash in the pan, it felt like, wasn't it? It was over before.
That was a big mistake.
Yeah, but I think the two of them, they really do come off as genuine brother and sisters.
Yeah, they do.
100% believe, even though we've seen and we had many years of Zen and Ditchett playing Ardy, I totally buy into him being her sibling now. And they've got that great little bickering, sort of like Sarah Louise and David did.
Yeah, I love
that. But a bit older. We don't
like
see them fighting on the sofa.
Sibling bickering.
But I totally get them together. And I think it also helps that Tanisha and Adam knew each other before he got the role. So they went to college together. He's a few years older than she is, so he's like way older than Ardy is, but they knew of each other at college, and apparently like he turned up after getting the role of Ardy and going, hey, it's me, and
that's funny.
So there we go. So let's move on to 2021, and this is, oh no, so I do have the episode count for 2020, so that was just 32 episodes that year, but you know, 2020, everyone was down a little bit in episode counts, weren't they? But in 2021, she goes up to 123 episodes in a year, and was actually the ninth most featured character of the year. So Corey had clearly seen that they're onto a good thing with Asher, and they wanted to put her front and centre.
And boy did they! Because she does badly in her mock GCSEs.
You really set yourself up there, didn't you? Story of the year, Asher does badly in her mock.
Asher finishes with Corey because Nina says that he's just using her. And then she and Nina start a relationship together, and Dev's just happy Corey's out of the picture. But Asher goes a bit too full steam ahead, and she starts telling Nina she loves her, and Nina thinks that they should go back to being friends because it's coming on a bit strong.
This, I think, was Corey's first realising or coming out or whatever you want to use it as, bisexual sort of relationship, wasn't it? Although I know it was hashtag no labels for both of them. Mm. They were both very much in the case of, well, we love who we love.
How to tell if somebody's bisexual on Coronation Street? They will never say they're bisexual.
Yeah, but it does make me wonder. I suppose, you know, we did have recently, do you remember when Nina kissed Ardy earlier this year? So they have remembered that she does like boys as well.
Well, both Nina and Asher are bisexual, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well,
but there hadn't,
if you want to,
I don't
label
think
it.
Up until this point there had been any suggestion that Asher was, but I guess there must have been some people out there that were shipping them together from that picture that Nina drew of.
Yeah. Kids these days, eh? What are they like?
We're too old to understand.
They're so sexually free.
Repress yourselves, youth. Come on.
Repress yourselves. Oh, dear. Right. So Nina wants to go back to being friends. Asher soon ends up back together with Corey. And Dev's not happy about this. He doesn't want this to happen. And also, Asher is skipping school so that they can sleep together. He tries to appeal to Corey's dad for support, and Stefan, he's, you know, the evil
Stefan Brandt,
publishing entrepreneur. Magnet. He's like, no, brilliant. Whoa.
He was like, whatever. Good. My boys will be boys.
Well, my boys are so as wild oats.
Yeah.
He leases the couple Leanne's old flat so they can move in together. And Nina and... this is when Nina and Seb get together.
Yeah, this year was, you know, the reason for this explosion in episode accounts for Asher was because of the hate crime story. And this was the beginning of that.
So Nina and Seb are out and they get attacked by Corey and Kelly and the gang. And this is when Seb dies. And Corey asks Asher to give him a false alibi, but she refuses. And she later admits to Ardy that she knows that Corey killed Seb.
This
and she's
going
to plan to get him to confess.
I think we weren't sure at the time, like, how taken in by Corey's lies is she. But she is a smart cookie, as Asher.
Well, she was
able to play him.
She was under his spell for quite a long time.
She was. But, yeah, the fact that she... Oh, and after this, she didn't completely stand by him and right till the very end.
So she's like, I'm going to get him drunk. I'm going to go on his phone and I'm going to prove that he did it.
Yeah, because there's evidence on his phone that he went to the scene of the crime 3 days after the attack.
Wasn't it something to do with a bag that was hidden?
The
evidence of the video is enough to get him charged with murder and GBH, but he gets granted bail. And so also Nina and Asher team up to raise money for the memorial garden for Seb. And Nina feels deceived when it turns out that most of the donations came from the Queen, who went on a visit and just gave him a bush.
No.
No, it came from Asher selling her laptop.
Asher was just so desperate to win Nina's approval.
Well, also she probably felt guilty, didn't she?
Yeah.
So along with Summer and Abby... Asher helps Nina remember what happened because she had difficulty remembering exactly the sequence of events.
She hadn't been fully trained on how to have a Corey flashback, so she had to return to the scene of the beating, didn't she?
Exactly.
She's like, oh yeah.
I remember now. Corey's expensive lawyers get him off at trial, but Kelly gets sent down instead.
Yeah.
So he's off scot-free because he's a horrible scroat.
So then after that, this is where we get the Horonation Street, the much maligned by some but loved by us, autumn 2021. Now, some may say that it was all about the sinkhole and the rain, but you got to give a bit of props to what was going on with the Allahans that evening as well, don't you?
This was great, but it did feel like it was setting up a story that never happened.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So the Allahans are on a drive to a hotel in the country, and they get caught up in this road accident that was caused by Harvey Gaskill escape from his prison van. And the car's like on fire and Dev's trying to get them out. And he rescues Asher first because she's unconscious and leaves Ardy in there. And Ardy's like a bit mad about this. And he pledges revenge, but then he doesn't do anything about it.
You're right. And that really, really felt like it was setting itself up for something that never transpired.
And
you got a few scenes of him saying, oh, I'm going to go off to London.
I'm going to be a businessman and I'm going to ruin the business.
Yeah, but we never had it. I think he's just too nice a character, really.
I also don't really feel like there was a proper reckoning to this.
No.
I know that they did talk about it a little bit, but I really wanted some kind of big emotional Allahan scene where...
He's still kind of got those lingering feelings of being number two. I think even last year it came out when during the Courtney story and Ardy felt a little bit more worthless compared to how he feels that Deb treats Asher.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great scene with there's some great shots of Dev holding Asher's lifeless body in the rain with an exploding car behind him. It's proper action story
stuff. You talked to her about this.
Yeah. This is another quote. I don't think this is from me. Was this from me? I've lost track now.
You can't even source yourself.
At some point.
Why don't you have sources for this? You're supposed to have sources.
Look, this took me... I was spending like 4 or 5 hours on Sunday morning putting together the notes for this. I haven't got time for sourcing things as well.
Michael.
What? Either digital spy or me. this came from. It was cold and wet, says Tanisha. It was definitely an experience for the books. It was long, but it was brilliant because there were so many people there that we don't usually work with, special effects and even the paramedics that had to be on site. It was really nice to have so many people there. Unreal. It was 4 a.m. I was drenched, freezing cold. Definitely something that I'll remember. Stunts are amazing. Unreal. Great to experience it. It was like being on a movie set. So, drone cameras, all sorts. It sounded like, they certainly threw everything at that Horonation Street, didn't they? to make up for not really being able to do much with it. I will not hear a word said against Horonation Street.
I have no
apologies for that.
They nearly killed Leanne. I loved
it. Apart from they bloody killed Johnny Connor off of it.
I know. Poor Natasha. No one cares about her.
No. We're the ones that don't care about Natasha. Everybody on the internet loves Natasha. Don't they?
What,
hairdresser? Yeah. They say, oh, she had so much potential. I don't get it.
It's not Natasha's story.
This is Asher, not Natasha. So she, towards the end of the year, saves the day in the Corey court case story because she recognises that Homeless Stew's rucksack is actually Corey's. What were you
about
thinking?
About the bag. Yeah, I remember this thing to do with the bag.
Yeah. So she sees Homeless Stew, out on the streets one day and she's like, oh, I recognise that bag. That's Corey's bag. So they have to hunt him down after he does a runner and he eventually hands it over and that provides enough evidence for Corey to be sent down because he put in all his clothes after the attack. And hooray, Asher saved the day. Kelly gets released from prison because she'd originally been imprisoned for the murder. But Asher and Nina won't accept her apologies. And then we had a story that I didn't particularly like. Well, it wasn't much of a story. It was just a few scenes that I think, looking back on it, thankfully, I'm glad it didn't turn into a big story, which is Nina starting to get her anxiety attacks and flashbacks and paranoias about where Asher is. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
This was, to me, kind of the beginning of, Nina's not quite as great as she used to be.
This is Corey's modus operandi with good female characters, is they traumatise them. Then they are like, oh, we have to be true to real life and we have to make sure that we're being responsible and addressing mental illness. So we'll say that it's, you know, she's struggling with her mental health, and then we'll say that she's got to have counselling or she's got to go on medication. But then we'll just make her boring for like 2 years.
Yeah, because for the first year or so, they've done that with so many characters. The first year or so with Nina, she was so cool. Like, she let nothing touch her. She didn't care what anyone thought about her.
No.
I mean, was it all a front?
And to be clear, the reason that I'm frustrated with this is because it is possible to be cool and have a mental illness.
Mm.
But in Coronation Street, you would never believe that because you just get turned into scared little girls.
Yeah, I still don't feel that Nina has properly recovered from this hate crime story, which is a shame because it was a really great story. That was the big story of 2021, wasn't it? But Nina was, what some might say, the even bigger casualty than Seb.
I know, well, maybe not. But they did the same with Yasmin as well.
Mm.
It's okay to, like, not show every minute of somebody's recovery.
Mm.
Like, there's so many other things that they don't do realistically. Why do we have to have these poor women? And it's never the men, is it?
Well, let's just hope it doesn't happen to Asher.
I know.
So by the end of 21, Nina and Asher are friends, not friends, more than friends, they're lovers again. Nina's like, oh, I need to know where you are. They agree to sync phones so that she can always keep track of where Asher is, and it felt a bit kind of clingy, didn't it, and limpet-ish.
Well, she had anxiety.
I know. But it just wasn't fun to watch.
The way to address it. Yeah, I know, that's the trouble.
Mm.
And we've spoken before about what, you know, how much responsibility do they have, to an issues-based storyline where they're really trying to depict mental illness and recovery properly versus actually being an entertaining show and not taking strong female characters and making them into shadows of their former selves.
Yeah, I mean, would people complain as much if they just went through all this trauma and then snapped back to how they used to be and say, well, that's not realistic.
But some people do.
Can't we know that they can't win?
Not every single person spends the rest of their lives. Mm. And it's, but I don't, like I said, I'm not trying to diminish people. And I think if you listen to the show, you'll know that's not the case. who are struggling with their mental health. But I'm just, you know, on Coronation Street, it's like a blooming death sentence.
Yeah. Anyway, let's leave that until we get round to the Nina character profile, whenever that may
be. We'll wait for Nina to get cool again.
Head into 2022. Gemma, do you want to remind us what happened a couple of years ago with Asher?
Asher decides to study at Glasgow Uni, but she gets worried because she knows that Nina can't really cope without her. But when Nina does find out, she tries to lock Asher in the cafe and then she gets put on a waiting list for counselling and they agree to give each other some space. And I think she does have counselling, but I don't know if it...
Yeah, I think she does. We really just talk about it. Asher and Nina have been the most on-again, off-again couple, haven't they?
I know, sometimes they're one of those couples where I can never remember whether they're together or not.
Yeah, even like at the moment, I think they are split up at the moment.
But yeah.
This hasn't... The last few years, I think 2022 was where the character of Asher, as much as I love her, did start to take a bit of a backseat to some of the other teens.
Well, Summer's had big stories.
Yeah, 2022 was the year of Summer. and Nina, so Asher had a few bigger years and they just weren't using her as much. But since they put her together with Nina, we've just not seen much of their relationship, have we?
You don't see anyone's relationship on Coronation Street unless they're breaking up.
No, this is true.
Or getting together.
Why should these two be any different?
So, Summer and Asher discover that Amy's got a new secret boyfriend who is drug dealer Jacob Hay.
Oh my gosh.
And Amy's like, no, he's changed. He's nice now. He took me on a picnic on a boat.
He was.
Amy collapses outside a club and they find GHB in her system and Ash is convinced that Jacob is the one who drugged her, but it wasn't him.
No.
Asher befriends Summer for a little bit, showing concern about her diabetes, and she then encourages her to give things a go with Aaron.
There's just lots of being Asher in other supporting character throughout this year.
She supports Ardy when he dates Kelly, but Dev doesn't want them to be dating. And then Ardy and Kelly plan to get married. And Ash is okay, I'll be your best person. But it didn't... I mean, she left to go in Doctor Who.
Yeah, so that was the end of that.
Couldn't even be his
companion. That was kind of it for Asher in 2022. And then last year was very similar. We start off the year with Nina having a bit of a tumble into the river and Asher saying, oh, those paramedics were brilliant. I think I'll be one of those. Apparently, it does take many years to train to become a paramedic.
Why so if would people you think are wondering,
I don't know. You know, it's not a doctor. It's not 7 years or anything.
Michael.
But if people are wondering, why isn't she a paramedic yet? It does take quite a while. But
4 years.
But it's nothing. 4 years. Yeah, it's nothing that we see, is it? We've
heard. We have seen her going, oh, Isla is so nice.
That's all we've seen. The only evidence that we've got that Asher has actually been having paramedic training since she declared she was going to do it over a year ago is that she's got a bit fancying of this colleague Isla at work. What else did she do last year? She was Team Amy during the rape story. She was partly involved in this story with Ardy where he fancies Amy and then goes off with Courtney, but yeah, basically nothing.
Well, no, you're missing the big Asher story.
Big Asher story of 2023? What?
That Nina gets jealous.
Oh, Nina's jealousy of her because she's going out with... Not she's going out with, because she keeps talking about Isla at work. She was a bit annoying there, wasn't she?
She was a bit like, oh, Isla says this, Isla says that.
I know she was supposed to be, but I don't like finding Asher annoying, and I think I did a little bit during that story. She was supposed to be annoying. We were supposed to be on Nina's side, I think, and thinking, yeah, stop banging on about her.
But I did like it because it was absolutely what you would be like if you... I mean, it was never really established if she had a crush on her, but if she did, it was harmless.
I just
looked up to her.
I felt that Asher was should have been a bit more switched on and realizing of the fact that Nina wasn't liking to hear this, and she's always been so smart, and just to hear her wittering on about this, you know, idol that she's created of her work colleague, it didn't really ring true to me, and it felt once the story ended, which it just kind of splattered out in the end, didn't it? With did Isla get
Transferred.
She got transferred because...
No, Asher transferred.
Oh, yeah, Asher transferred, and then Isla got in trouble in the end. Yeah, Isla came onto her in the end. Asher said, "Let, I want to transfer to another unit." And then Isla got dobbed in by Ardy, maybe, was it? It didn't work for a story for me, really. And it very much felt like, Asher and Nina haven't done anything for a while. Let's have them have some kind of relationship drama. How should we do it? It was the first bit of a flub for Asher's story. But, you know, everyone's entitled to the odd one here and there. And
SOAP Award winners.
Yeah, and I have certainly got great, great confidence for Asher in the future. But is that future going to be with Nina? I don't know. What do you think? Are you kind of hoping to see them go the course, or do you think that they're too tumultuous and they just need to make a clean break of it?
I've always been of the mind that Nina and Asher are better as friends.
Mm.
And I...
Even when they're supposed to be, you know, more than friends, all we see is them, like, lounging on the sofa at Dev's house and it looks like they're mates. Yeah, there's not been there's very not much,
physical
like...
physical contact, because it all happened during COVID and they had that... The green screen kiss, which is quite funny. But there's not been, you know, lots of intimate... Not that I clamour for that in any romance story on Coronation Street.
You're not a fan, are you?
But I don't really know what they... I think it was a sweet kind of teenage romance, but I don't know what the...
The thing is, Nina and Seb was much sweeter.
Mm.
And now to compare to Asher and Nina, it's just not the same.
But also, who would you put Asher with?
Well, I don't know. There isn't anyone...
I think she should be a strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
Or woman.
Or woman.
I'd like to see her settle down at some point. But I don't think there's anyone particularly on the show at the moment that she's totally suited to.
No.
And I include Nina in
bring
that.
Bring a new character in.
I like Nina and Asher as friends, but you're right. I feel that there's better for her.
I think it was partly because of COVID that I just kind of kept not buying them as a couple.
Mm-hmm. From what Tanisha has said, she's quite keen for them to be together. She was interviewed in 2022 and said, look, we don't need a cheating story for Asher and Nina. Does this Isla one count as a cheating story?
No.
Not really, but it's, you know, on the edges of it. She says, you know, not everyone needs to cheat in a relationship, but it's just like, we need drama, we need something. Cheating shouldn't be on the cards, though. Let's hope that that's not the case.
But don't forget that they conjured up Seb and Nina's relationship from nothing in the space of like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If they wanted us to really, really get behind Asher and Nina, they could do it.
They just haven't put
any effort into it because they've not had, they've got so many other things to do, you know.
And there's lots of other cast members
to
get around.
Loads of other people. I don't think the most important thing about those two characters is their romances, because they're so interesting by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of her stuff, Asher's stuff, was to do with Corey. But, you know, I want to just see her... Thing is, her being a paramedic is a bit tricky, because is she going to turn into Craig, where she just turns up to be a paramedic, and everyone's thinking, this doesn't make any sense. Why would she be always the one that gets called out?
It really feels like we could do with a paramedic on the cast. Who could it be? Because I don't think Asher had ever shown any previous inclination for that line of work. And it just seemed to come out of nowhere when Nina had the accident at the lake.
I mean, it's really nice, but it doesn't feel like a Corey job, and it's not the sort of job that she can work on the street, you know. Even when I've forgotten her name, Rana, when she was a nurse, she worked at the medical center, but you'd only ever really see her walking up and down the road with her uniform on, going, I'm just off to work. I've just been to work.
Yeah,
you never saw her doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need paramedics on the street as much as you need police officers.
We also don't need police officers and paramedics as much as you need people that work in kebab shops and corner shops.
Very true. And, you know, the lack of location shooting they're doing makes me worry that if she does become a qualified paramedic. We'll just be hearing about things that she's got up to most of the time, and we won't actually be able to see her in action, which will therefore make it less harder for us to believe that she actually is one. You get what I mean?
Of all the people that most people work on the street, even Adam and Dee Dee, like they have their little office.
Yeah.
You know, there's still plenty of opportunity to like see Asha. Oh, I'm just buying my balm. I'm off to for my shift, or I'm just coming off a shift, or I've got my day off today.
I mean, that it'll give opportunities for stories like, oh, she goes to her first big accident and she feels she can't handle it, or she goes to an accident and it's a family member, or she goes to an accident and maybe it's Corey who's, you know, split open and bleeding all over the road, and she has to decide whether or not to help him or not.
I mean, I'm just going to suggest to her, if she wants to be a paramedic, I think that she should ask for her days off on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because Friday, if you're around the street on a Friday, something dramatic could happen to you.
Mm.
But if you're like, oh, I wasn't there, I was working, then you get away with a lot of like big cliffhangers.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's short-sighted or not to make her a paramedic. I guess time will have to tell.
They must have thought to themselves, what are we going to do with this? Or maybe Ian McLeod's like, I don't know, I won't be here in 4 years. See you later.
Well, you're maybe. But this is what they have to do with all the teens when they reach a certain age, isn't it? It's like, right, are we going to send them off to university and stall them for a bit? Or are we going to give them a job now?
Let's send Ardy to Freshgoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ardy's working at Freshgoes at the moment, isn't he? I'd totally forgotten about that. We'll never see him at work there.
Right.
I think this is still a bit of a problem with the Allahans. Even though we have had more of an Allahan renaissance under Ian McLeod, I still feel that we don't get quite enough of them.
Want more.
As people would like.
More Allahans.
Yeah. But, you know, with this stuff about her being a paramedic, Tanisha Gorey has proven that she has got the skills herself, because there was a story in the news last year that she went round her grandparents' house one day and the next door neighbour collapsed. Tanisha goes over. I know, she doesn't, you know, proper paramedica, because she hasn't actually been training up to be a paramedic. But she apparently, when the real paramedic turned up, Tanisha was like, right, this is what's happened, this is what's wrong with this person. And the paramedic is like, are you in the medical field? And she's like, no, I'm just an actress.
No, but I do play one on television. She was told,
you've just handed over to me like the medical student would. So Tanisha's mum is in the medical field. So apparently Tanisha said, look, I'm not squeamish with bodily fluids and blood and all this kind of stuff. And I've heard all kind of stories, so maybe that's gone to health as well. And she is also a big fan of Grey's Anatomy. So maybe that will come in useful somewhere as well.
That's really sweet.
So anyway, that's kind of it with Asha, really. That's the story so far. And like you said at the beginning, we're just a few years away from Asha's 20th anniversary. And I think the future is still bright for her. Careful,
I love her.
Careful with Nina. Let's keep her together with Ardy and Dev. Like, I know that they should be old
this
enough to
trouble.
Be fleeing the nest or flying the nest at this point, but
this is the trouble with all these teens now, is their relationship with their parents is what is interesting, but they're all getting a bit old. Then again, you know, these days you do live with your parents for longer.
You do. I mean, and I do think that Asha and Amy are fun together, so let's have, you know, a Susie Birchall and Gail situation and stick them in a flat together. It'd be lovely just to have some characters that are fun.
I think,
you know,
she is fun. She's nice.
That just have fun times together. Yeah. A bit of levity to the street and amongst all the hideous drama and horror and misery. Let's have these girls get out there and have a good time.
I also really
appreciate... And find all the men that are spiking the drinks and kick them in the ghoulies.
Yeah, kick them in the ghoulies. That Asha, Summer and Amy are all a little bit nerdy, and I do adore that.
So do
100% I. 100% about them. Don't need another show where all the teen girls are, you know, plastered in makeup and chewing bubblegum and trying to get the boys to pop off.
I 100% love that about them. And they're not too nerdy. They're not like Sam Blakeman level of nerdiness, are they?
But they're just normal.
Ever so slightly geeky. You're right, they're really, really normal as characters.
It feels like they're real people.
They're, you know, you could relate to them, I expect. Lots of girls can relate to them.
I hope so.
And
I mean, there's nobody like Candice, for example. When Sarah Lou was young, she had a friend, Candice, who was, you know, a bit more of a flighty, like, madamy
She was kind of older than she should have been, shouldn't she?
She was the I want to cop off with the boys.
Yeah.
And kind of character.
Yeah.
And there's not really anyone like that in the teen world on Corrie at the moment. Because they're all half gay.
That's really.
Good for them and their sexual liberation. And,
and I'd also like to say that Tanisha Gori is a lovely young lady as well, isn't she?
She is very, very nice.
You just met her once, haven't you? When we went to Sue Devaney's show last year She was there and we had a bit of a chat, but I'd interviewed her before, and then I did the Star Tour a couple of weeks ago. And
best friends.
She's just really lovely and chatty, and really so down to earth.
She's not stuck up.
She's in no way up herself. She's absolutely a total delight, and she has said that she wants to stay in Coronation Street as long as possible.
Oh,
she
I'd said, love to keep her
"I'll
forever.
Leave when they kick me out. There's nothing not to love there. I love going to work, and if I was going to leave to do something else, I'd only do it if I could come back."
I just love her so much. I'm so happy for her too.
I am as well. Corrie's got a really lovely little starlet there, and I hope they keep her, because the stardom hasn't gone to her head.
Well, look, even
as
if
far
it
as
did,
I know,
even if it did, we'd still love her, and we love Asha, and she's got a great history, and she's so young still. There's so much that they can do with her.
When she did the Star Tour the other week, she was saying, "Oh yes, I feel quite proud of the fact that it's been me all along," because I guess she's seen co-stars coming and going in terms of child actors, and it is something to be
I also
be proud
like
of.
Really like people that genuinely enjoy working on Corrie.
She loves her job, and from what I gather, she does lots of research a lot around the issues. Like when I was reading up about some of her interviews with the skin lightening and the sexting, she gave me the impression that she really kind of got her head down and learned about it and spoke to people involved, because she's a
Corrie people generally quite good with that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she's great.
Yeah. So
long live Asha.
Yeah, absolutely long live Asha. I hope that she's going to be with us for a very long time. I'm looking forward to... Because even though she's had big stories, they've been kind of short big stories, haven't they?
When's she going to have a
When's
year
When's she
going to
have her big, the year of Asha, she is the number one lady of the street.
Maybe in a few years.
Maybe it's just around the corner.
Could be.
Right, I think we'll finish it there. I think that's far too much Asha.
Never enough.
Asha love.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Let us know what you think of Asha. Isn't she great?
But only tell us if you think she's great.
She's great. And we'll see you at the weekend for our normal episode.
Don't forget, we're going to be late this weekend.
Yeah, bye.
Music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.